May it please the Court, my name is Rhonda Lanford, and I represent the appellant, Catherine Lees. The District Court's decision in this case is based on erroneous factual findings, erroneous conclusions of law, and a misapplication of the law to the facts. If it stands, it will encourage universities and colleges, like Carthage College, to turn a blind eye towards student safety and security for those who reside on their campuses. Catherine Lees.
That seems extreme. The holding here was only that the proffered expert witness hadn't done what was necessary. So one might say that if this ruling stands, plaintiffs will be encouraged to get expert witnesses who will provide the necessary evidence.
Your Honor, the problem with the District Court's assessment of the expert opinion is that the Court fundamentally erred on several grounds and applying the law to the facts.
Right. So why don't we just deal with the real issue in this case, which is whether there was an error in saying that this expert couldn't testify. This is not a decision in the underlying merits. It's a decision about the admissibility of particular evidence.
Yes, Your Honor. Let's turn to the first point where the District Court in this case abused its discretion when it struck Dr. Kennedy's opinion on standard of care. First of all, the District Court found that Dr. Kennedy did not identify a standard of care. And second, that Dr. Kennedy's methodology was improper. In Wisconsin, as to the standard of care question, the District Court abused its discretion when it relied on the finding that Kennedy failed to identify a standard of care, and that as a matter of law, Kennedy had to identify industry standards in order to show a standard of care.
Well, those are two different things, as I understand it.
Yes, Your Honor.
The expert was required in order to establish the standard of care because that's beyond the province of a lay jury to do. So you needed expert testimony in this case. Everybody acknowledged that, apparently. That was agreed. So that's a separate issue. What he was required to do in order to state that opinion within the confines of Wisconsin law is another matter. And that's where I see kind of a disconnect in how the expert went about that task in this case. But before we get to that, I'm having a little bit of difficulty deciphering the trial court's decision because it doesn't use a traditional evidentiary analysis about the admissibility of the expert's testimony. The judge really focused on all the different inputs into the expert's opinion, as I understand this order, but didn't go through the usual Daubert analysis about the reliability of that analysis, which is what the focus is supposed to be on admissibility. And so perhaps you could address that first before we get to the substance issue.
As to the how the court analyzed this case and how it came to its conclusion?
Right. I mean, he didn't attack the expert's methodology per se. He just said, I disagree with all these different inputs. Is that essentially a methodology decision?
That is essentially what the court did. The court essentially found two key reasons that it decided that Dr. Kennedy's testimony was not valid. The first was that because Dr. Kennedy could not identify an industry standard, he could not show that there was a standard of care.
Right, and that's plainly wrong. You don't have to have an industry standard. This is not code-focused. This is akin to a medical malpractice case or an accounting malpractice case or a legal malpractice case where the expert testifies to what a reasonable doctor would do in this situation, a reasonable lawyer would do, except that it's within the context of university security. So he was supposed to testify to what was reasonable for Carthage College to do to protect students in dorms. So that's clearly an error. But is this, to get back to the approach that the trial court took, can we construe this as a decision about the method that the expert used? Is it capable of that construction?
I don't think how the opinion is written necessarily deconstructs how Dr. Kennedy came to his conclusions. What the court essentially found at the foundation is that the rape at Carthage College was not foreseeable. And because the rape was not foreseeable, there would be no duty on the part of Carthage College to do anything. and therefore the opinion was, the methodology was unreliable at how he came to his opinion that the security breaches by Carthage caused the injury. On the foreseeability question, the problem with how the court approached foreseeability was that it looked at foreseeability contrary to Wisconsin law, and it distinguished stranger rape from acquaintance rape for purposes of the foreseeability analysis, and did a credibility...
The court did that.
Correct. The district court, Your Honor. And in doing so, the court gave a credibility analysis to the testimony versus an admissibility analysis. In the decision by the district court stated as one of its grounds for finding no foreseeability that a comparative study cited by the expert said nothing about how likely it is that a female college student with a hearing disability would be raped by a stranger in her dorm room. There is no requirement in Wisconsin law that particular harm be foreseeable. The duty of any person and its obligation of due care to refrain from any act which will cause foreseeable harm to others, even though the nature of the harm and the identity of the harmed person or harmed interest is unknown at the time of the act. So for the district court to base its foreseeability analysis on the specific harm to Catherine Lees, that was an incorrect interpretation of the law of negligence. Second, the court distinguishing stranger rape from acquaintance rape, the court was simply making a credibility analysis of the evidence before it versus an admissibility analysis.
Does that have anything to do with credibility? Rule 702 says that the expert's methods have to be reliable, right? And whether the expert has... Dr. Kennedy is supposed to be analyzing what gains can be had from particular security precautions. You'd think that one aspect of a reliable analysis of that is to recognize that certain kinds of crimes being committed by people familiar to the victims can't be dealt with by more security at the door. When someone is invited in, more locks at the door won't help. Right? If one of my guests at dinner steals a painting from my home, having better locks on my door won't do anything about that. So I understand the district court to be saying, in figuring out whether you need more locks or whether the student's doors should have been locked at all times rather than left open, you need to distinguish the crimes committed by strangers and the crimes committed by acquaintances. That seems to be a standard Rule 702 point about reliability. Why do you say it's a question about credibility?
Well, it's a question about credibility, Your Honor, because the purpose of the acquaintance versus stranger rape analysis is to show that rape on college campuses is foreseeable. And
any type of rape?
Sexual assault generally, yes. Acquaintance rape and stranger rape.
But is that distinction, when you talk about... The distinction, which seems to be pretty important, between strangers who presumably don't have key cards and other things versus acquaintance, where somebody might be invited or at least known. You're saying that that's all one category?
Yes, Your Honor, because the point of the analysis is that rape on college campuses is...
This has nothing to do with credibility. Credibility is whether Kennedy believes what he's saying. That's what credibility means. The district judge didn't say that Kennedy doesn't believe what he's saying. District judge said that what Kennedy did was to ask and answer the wrong question. If you take my case, and there's a dispute about insurance for my stolen painting, suppose some expert says... What Easterbrook needed to do was have a better lock on his door, and therefore he's responsible for the theft of the painting. Wouldn't the judge just throw that out and say, that's irrelevant? It wasn't that the door was broken down or the lock was picked. The theft was performed by somebody who had been admitted voluntarily, and locks can't defend against that. The right response might have been what Easterbrook needed was an alarm on his wall. But an expert who said, the precaution that was needed was better locks on the door, ought to be excluded. And that's the worry here. The plaintiff's expert seems to have addressed the wrong problem in dealing with crimes by acquaintances, but in this case we've got a crime by a stranger.
Well, Your Honor, the analogy between a burglar in your home and a vulnerable...
Look, you're not listening to my hypothetical. It did not involve a burglar. If it involved a burglar, then a lock on the door would help. No, it involved a dinner guest in my hypothetical. I had invited him in. I opened the door when he arrived. And therefore, an expert who testified about the utility of locks on the door would just be speaking past the point.
The analysis for the duty owed to a student who lives on a campus is different in that case. In this situation, Carthage has a duty to provide a safe living environment to the students who reside on its campus.
That's not the question. Maybe I'm just not being clear. There are fundamentally different categories of crimes. Crimes committed by acquaintances can't be dealt with by locks on the door. Crimes committed by strangers can be dealt with by locks on the door. And as I understand the district court's opinion, the district court said Kennedy was making a categorical error in assuming that the crimes that are important are all these crimes committed by acquaintances, and these crimes committed by acquaintances show the need for more locks on the door. That's what I understand the district court to have said, and I don't understand why it would be reliable for an expert to take the precautions appropriate for acquaintance crimes and confuse them with the precautions appropriate for stranger crimes.
I do not believe that is what the expert did. When I stated earlier that this was a credibility analysis, I was not talking about Dr. Kennedy. I was talking about the district court.
Counsel, maybe I can interrupt here and get you back on track. This was a stranger crime.
Yes.
This was not a date rape.
Yes.
And so this whole distinction that the district court was drawing along the lines of Chief Judge Easterbrook's hypothetical, the judge focused on the wrong thing. So did the expert by looking at rapes at Carthage, which were mostly date rapes. There was one stranger rape, as I understand the record. None of that was necessary to the admissibility of the expert's opinion. All he had to do is look at what colleges normally do to protect female students in their dorms from stranger rapes and opine about whether what Carthage did was either within that standard of care or outside that standard of care. Everybody's focusing on the wrong things here and talking past each other. You and the chief judge and you and your opposing counsel and all of you and the district court, and none of it relates to Wisconsin law of professional negligence, which is what this case is.
Right. And I agree with you, Your Honor, because the whole point of the not making the distinction is that Carthage owes a duty to do certain things to protect its students regardless.
Right. And it's up to the expert witnesses on both sides to articulate what the standard of care is for dorm security and say whether Carthage did, you know, was within that standard of care or outside that standard of care. And if that standard of care includes, you know, disallowing access after midnight and having a prop alarm on the basement door and having an RA or a security person stationed at the desk 24/7, I mean, say that. Those are the kinds of things that you would expect an expert witness to say in a situation. There's no question your expert was qualified to opine about that stuff, but everybody's focusing on the wrong thing.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, counsel. Mr. Stadler.
May it please the court. My name is Ron Stadler, and I represent Carthage College. And as I look at this case, I want to go back directly to what Judge Sykes just commented on, and that is this case about date rape? Is it about acquaintance rape? Or is it about an expert trying to develop an opinion as to the standard of care? And I think in this case, the focus became the issue of foreseeability because of the problems that Dr. Kennedy had with his opinion on standard of care. Dr. Kennedy attempted to develop an opinion on the standard of care.
I'm totally lost. I mean, the crimes by strangers are foreseeable. I mean, that's why people have locks, right? So that can't possibly be the right question. I'm interested in the same question Judge Sykes is interested in. What do we know on this record about the standard of care, the normal standard of care for rural colleges to protect against crimes by strangers?
That has been our entire point in this case, Judge. We know nothing about that because
why do we know nothing about that?
Because
there is some evidence of a national college standard, right? That wasn't Kennedy's evidence, but there is a standard setting organization.
There is not.
And I assume that Carthage should be introducing some evidence on this.
If we were at a trial, Judge, we would introduce evidence as to what the standard of care is.
Oh, but you don't produce it in discovery or anything like that.
We did. We presented our expert witness.
So then you presented some evidence. I want to know what that is.
Your expert used the same national standards, right?
Here's the problem with the IACLEA standards, and let me make sure that the court understands those are not standards. First of all, IACLEA, the International Association of...
You use real words. I mean, you may know what initialisms like that mean, but generalists don't. So if you just use words, that would help us.
And that's what I was trying to do, Judge. It's the International Association of College Law Enforcement Associates. And what they have is they have a pamphlet that talks about things that can be done in terms of college security and securities in dormitories. In that pamphlet, it specifically says, this is a list of things that can be done. This is not a standard,
okay. And
this can't be relied upon.
I understand that that's your position. That led me to ask what the record shows about standards of care. So you had an expert. You introduced your own evidence. And what evidence is that?
So the record is clear, Judge. We did not introduce at the district court level our evidence of the expert witnesses.
So this was in discovery, and your expert didn't provide what's necessary in discovery? This is a federal case. You can't possibly be saying we have secret evidence that we didn't turn over in discovery and we were planning to withhold until trial.
Our expert prepared a report. Our expert was deposed by the plaintiffs.
Yes, and I'm asking what he said.
What our expert said is that the security at Carthage College was reasonable and it met the standards for what...
That's a conclusion. That's not any evidence. We don't give two hoots about experts' conclusions. We do care about their reasons, right? So what did he say?
Our expert was a female, and what she said...
What difference does that make? The sex of an expert, the fact that you're even referring to the sex of an expert suggests that you want to distract the court rather than provide serious evidence.
What our expert said, Judge, was that the measures in place at college in terms of having a door that is locked 24 hours a day that requires a card swipe.
You're talking about the exterior door going into the dorm?
Correct. There's three exterior doors.
Needs a card swipe. All three of them need a card swipe.
Correct. And when you swipe your card, it's recorded by the computer so that we know who went into the building. Our expert indicated that that was a reasonable thing to do, and that is what is normally done by colleges and universities, the size of Carthage College, given the demographics of where it is, their student population.
How about the fact that the basement door didn't have an alarm?
The basement door did not have an alarm. The basement door did not have a card swipe that students could use to get in and out. It was a key lock.
But students could prop it open and leave it open. That's the point. The plaintiff is arguing it should have had a prop alarm. The plaintiff is also arguing that...
And apparently other buildings at Carthage College do have prop alarms. Just this one didn't.
All of the doors in this building, but for that basement ingress-egress door, had a prop alarm.
Yeah.
There's no allegation that these two individuals came in through that door.
That doesn't matter.
Okay.
We're talking about the
causation
question.
Not at this stage.
Question.
That would be
right.
Causation
right.
Later on.
Correct.
Doesn't matter to the admissibility of the expert's testimony.
Correct. The problem with the admissibility of Dr. Kennedy's testimony is that he never gave the court anything to indicate that his testimony was reliable. What they wanted to say was he's opined...
Well, look, part of the tenor of this questioning, I want to be explicit, is that even if everything Dr. Kennedy said was swill, you concede that some perimeter security is required. You concede that the basement door didn't have a prop alarm. You concede, I think correctly, that whether that played a causal role is for later in the litigation, and it might therefore be that this case can go forward on the basis of those facts alone, without regard to Kennedy's beliefs.
I don't believe that this case can go forward, Judge, because the plaintiff is required to establish the standard of care through the testimony of an expert witness. They conceded that point. They bring in their expert witness, and their expert witness's testimony is stricken. Without the expert testimony, they can't go forward with the case, and that's what resulted in summary judgment.
Totally lost. I mean, I think the parties are using very bad language here. The standard of care is a legal issue for the judge. Evidence pertinent to figuring out whether the defendant complied with it has to come in through, you know, whether an expert witness or some other way. There's no problem. But the reason I asked the question the way I did is Carthage College concedes that the relevant standard of care requires perimeter security to defeat entries by strangers, or at least to make them harder or easier to detect. So the college concedes the standard of care requires perimeter security. The college concedes that there was a highly notable weakness in its perimeter security in this building. But why isn't that enough to get past a motion for summary judgment?
Because there was no expert that identified that what the college did was unreasonable. There was no expert that said, other than Dr. Kennedy's guess, that not having a prop alarm on the door somehow didn't meet a standard. Our expert witness completed a survey at Carthage College. She's the head of security at Penn. She did the survey. She looked at all the policies, and her conclusion was that the security that Carthage provides was reasonable.
What did you say about the door that didn't have an alarm?
That you're not required to have a prop alarm. Is it a good idea to have a prop alarm? Yes. But there is no hard and fast rule that you're required to have one.
This isn't about hard and fast rules. This is about what's reasonable under the circumstances.
Right.
And the expert, the plaintiff's expert, testified that what was reasonably required in this situation is a prop alarm. And what's reasonably required in this situation is that the card swipe not allow non-resident students to access the building between 12 and 2 a.m. I mean, that's part of the problem here, too. The assailants obviously got in somehow, either because somebody else let them in, not the victim, or because they swiped themselves in between 12 and 2, or they got in through this propped basement door that might have been propped. And Dr. Kennedy testified that based on his knowledge of the relevant standards, the law enforcement, whatever that acronym is, the college law enforcement group, according to those standards, which don't have to be code, they can be aspirational. There's no problem with that for purposes of reasonable care under Wisconsin negligence law. And he testified that these would have been the kinds of reasonable precautions that would be necessary to avoid being negligent. That's what he put in his affidavits and reports.
His ultimate conclusion in this case wasn't about whether Carthage's security was reasonable. He jumped way past that and opined on foreseeability. He never got to reasonableness.
That's a smoke screen here.
It's a different problem. It may be that there are a lot of things that Kennedy wanted to testify to that he shouldn't be allowed to testify to. But that's not the question at the moment. The question is whether the district court erred in granting summary judgment. And that is possible only if there's no way on this evidentiary record that the opposing party could prevail. It may be possible for the opposing party to prevail on a subset of Kennedy's testimony.
I don't think the district court committed an erroneous exercise of its discretion here because the appellant and Dr. Kennedy both never did what's required under Rule 702, and that is to explain the reliability of his opinions. The expert can use experience and can use his personal knowledge in order to have a reliable methodology, but it's incumbent upon the expert to step forward and identify, how did you apply your experience? How did you apply this? How did you apply your knowledge? What did you do? What we have from Dr. Kennedy is purely a conclusion, and he says this conclusion is based upon what I did. It is not a reviewable methodology. It is not a particular methodology. They want to draw the...
Could you perhaps explain, I know I'm coming back to where I was, but could you explain one more time why, in your expert's view, the lack of a prop alarm made the security still reasonably adequate?
Because the door was locked, because Carthage had no history of sexual assaults on campus.
If because the door was locked made the lack of a prop alarm reasonable, then there would never be a need for a prop alarm. The whole purpose of a prop alarm is to alert security when a door locked on the outside and unlocked on the inside is opened.
I mean, that is correct. That is the purpose of it. And in her opinion, she did not find that to be necessary.
She thinks that prop alarms are just never necessary anywhere, anytime.
No, I would not say that she said never, anywhere, or never regardless of the facts. But she said in looking at Carthage College, the size of the campus, where it's located, the demographics.
Why then did Carthage College have prop alarms on the basement doors of its other buildings?
It had prop alarms on those because somebody put them on there. Evidently, no one put one on this one.
You know, just squandering the college's money. I assume it had some reason for doing that.
I assume that it did. We do not know why it is that this one did not. It never got done.
Did your expert take account of that?
Yes. Yes.
Said, doesn't matter that to the standard of care that Carthage put them on all the other buildings, just not this one?
Correct. I mean, I think if they were missing on the other buildings, her opinion would have been the same. It's not a violation of the standard of care because they're not there, but just simply because they had them in other buildings doesn't mean that it makes this building deficient.
Well, the other buildings, maybe it's just a good idea. I don't know. The other thing is, focus on that a stranger is a stranger to the person who was attacked. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a stranger to the campus. It could have easily been students. People even had access.
The
appellant did not know who they were. They had on Carthage shirts or something.
Correct. She has consistently maintained.
I'm confused about her going in and out of the place according to her key card and all this kind of thing. There's an awful lot of things, facts here that baffle me.
A lot of facts that don't play into this appeal.
Because we aren't there. That's why.
Correct.
Because there's some question about her having entered and exited during this period of time, well, according to key cards.
Correct.
Which, of course, everyone would say that is a very good standard to have key card, key access, et cetera. You know, I had to shift mine around even here because they're going to move me to another floor. So I got to be able to get into certain rooms over here, you know. There are good reasons to have those. And this is what is frustrating, perhaps, about this case, is that all these questions are begging. Yeah, it'd be certainly at least a good idea to have that alarm on the door. Your expert said it wasn't absolutely necessary to meet standards of care. I guess that's what she would have testified to.
Correct.
Maybe did on her deposition. I don't know.
Correct. She was deposed. She did prepare a report. I go back to the district court's decision. And is it clearly erroneous for the court to find that Dr. Kennedy's opinions were unreliable? And I submit to this court that it was not clearly erroneous. When Dr. Kennedy doesn't offer to the district court an explanation of how his experience, how his knowledge, or how anything he knows leads him to his conclusions, it is purely ipse dixit. It is the opinion of Dr. Kennedy, and he gives us nothing to base it upon.
Well, that's a huge overstatement. Based on this record, he's got affidavits that explains exactly what he did to arrive at his conclusion, that explains all the sources that he took into account for establishing what is reasonable for a university to provide as in the way of dorm security. He applied the national standards that everybody else looks to and came to his conclusions. The district court really focused on the false issue that the standards are merely aspirational. That's a non-issue as far as negligence is concerned. And then the fact that there was discussion about date rapes, which aren't relevant here, But that doesn't detract from everything else in the expert's report. So what else is there to the district court's opinion besides those things?
I would submit that what happened is Dr. Kennedy said, this is what I looked at. I will give you that. It's set out in his affidavit. I looked at A, B, C, D, E, F, and G.
Right. That's how experts like this arrive at their opinions. This is not the kind of thing that has to be tested by experiments, right?
I understand that. But he never tied into, I looked at this because of that. I looked at this factor because my experience tells me it's relevant for this reason, for that reason. Telling me what you looked at and giving me an ultimate conclusion does not allow me to tell to the district court, here is why you can trust my opinion as being reliable. Here is what I did to get from the point of here's what I looked at to here's what I concluded. Everything in the middle was left empty. I know my time is up. Thank you.
Anything further, Ms. Lanford? We'll indeed be brief. You have less than a minute.
What Carthage College wants Dr. Kennedy's opinion to state is, I looked at national statistics because they tell me this. I looked at treatises because they tell me this. I use my experience in X, Y, and Z because they tell me this. That is not required for a reliability analysis. Dr. Kennedy laid out everything that he did in coming to his opinions, applied his 40 years of experience, and set forth his opinions in a manner that passed the 702 test for reliability. Thank you.
Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.